Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast.
Hi.
My name is Mark. Those other voices you hear are Miles.
Hi.
And Jackie.
Hi.
Miles is here in person.
We're together.
Yay.
At the house of Mark and Jackie to ring in the new year. It is now 2024. We are still a podcast about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, except when JoJo's does not have an anime that is out and running. And so this week we're going to be talking about a different anime, namely Paranoia Agent. Before we get into that,
let's talk about why you sound like shit.
Well, I sound like shit because I was sick once or twice last week. I had two different fevers, and then my voice went away on New Year's. And I blew out my eardrum at some point and has not come back in a few days. So I really like to lay down and
you're just falling apart.
But we have a podcast to do.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I don't feel good.
I feel fine, by the way.
Great. Great, great, great. But also, we
could be better.
We finally remembered that we have these old JoJo-themed chocolates, these Godiva Cross JoJo chocolates.
You bought like a year ago.
That I bought over a year ago.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a year ago. I don't really know that much Japanese, but on the back of the box, it did say something like March 2023. And we're not going to do a video. That was the initial thought, was to do like a video review.
23 or 22?
23.
Okay. Well, you're thinking that might be the expiration date?
Well, I don't know if they put an expiration date on chocolate. It might be Best Buy.
Okay. Have you Googled?
You know what? I'm gonna do that right now. I'm going to take a picture of what this kanji is.
I meant just Google, like, will chocolate kill you after a while? Because I'm willing to shit a lot for this podcast.
Uh-huh. As you do every week.
I'd be willing to die for this podcast.
Okay.
But not in, like, a yucky way.
Okay. What are the ways you'd eat this chocolate if you would die from explosion? You'd be like, okay.
If I ate this chocolate and like died in my sleep tonight, I'd be like, worth it for the pod.
Okay.
But if I was like sick for a long time and then died, I would say it wasn't worth it.
Mm.
Should we have a Patreon tier for us?
Our
dying?
Deaths? Yeah. Yeah. Give us
$50,000
and you can tell us how to die. And then we'll die for you.
It's expiration date.
Okay.
How long after expiration can you eat chocolate? Because the thing is, guys, is that
What does the expiration say?
March 28th, 2023.
Oh, okay.
So it's definitely expired.
Yeah.
So I ordered this like early 2023, and then it was through a proxy, and they were supposed to let me know that it got to like the warehouse, and then I pay for shipping. But they never let me know. And then after a few weeks, they were like, hey, this has just been sitting in the warehouse. What do you want to do? And I was like, ship it. So it says Best Buy March 28th, 2023. What I'm reading on Hotel Chocolat is dark chocolate can be like 3 years past.
Yeah.
With high milk content, milk and white chocolates, you want 8 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been about a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what happens to you?
You don't die. You probably just
As long
get
as
queasy.
All your flesh melts off, and then you spasm so hard you break your own spine.
Yeah, as long as we're not going to die. But
if my tummy hurts, fine.
I don't think anything is going to kill you past its expiration date. It might just make you not feel good.
Well, what about the
or it might taste
cans
weird
with botulism or whatever? Does that kill you?
I don't know what that is.
What kills you if it's expired? Let's think about it.
Oh, yeah, because, I looked this up for medicine. I was like, if you take expired medicine, how bad could it be? And, it's just, there's no, expired medicine will not kill you. So that's good. I don't know about expired chocolate, but I think it also can kill you.
Well, okay, Whitaker'sChocolates.com says milk chocolate can usually be enjoyed up to a year after purchase. It says store in a cool, dry place, but it also says ensure it's sealed.
Have you stored this in a cool, dry place?
Yes. But I don't know if it was sealed, really. It just had like two elastic tabs on the sides.
It doesn't look like... Okay, let's look at this chocolate. Is anything growing upon it, do you feel?
No, and apparently if you see like white dust or whatever, that's okay. It can change the taste, but it's not like it's going bad.
Guys, I'm willing to eat this chocolate. Okay. I think we should just eat it.
I kind of do want to try all of them, so I might just take a nibble of each.
Okay.
Basically, folks, for the JoJo fans, if there's any that listen to this, it seems like there's two that represent two chocolates from each of the six anime arcs. So each one has a little square chocolate with like a graphic of the main JoJo from the anime printed on it rather than the manga illustration. And they have a little icon. So for Phantom Blood, there's a stone mask. It's literally like a gray stone mask. It doesn't look like chocolate at all. Two is the Redstone of Asia, but ours is all melted and fucked up looking. Three is JoJo's hand emblem. So that's orange and also melted and weird. Part four is Josuke's yellow anchor emblem, and that looks okay. Five is the ladybug pendant from Giorno, and six is the butterfly pendant from Jolene.
What flavor is the butterfly? Is Jolene's butterfly pendant?
Oh man, this is so small here. Let's see.
Do you want me to look?
Trademark. It's in Japanese, Miles.
I can't read.
Okay. Japanese. All right, I'm going to open it. It's probably JoJo Wiki that has it.
We looked this up a while ago, right?
Oh, a long time ago.
Like when you bought the chocolate.
Yeah.
What was I doing in March 2023? I can't even remember.
Okay. Which one did you ask about the flavor?
This purple guy. Jolene's heart.
Butterfly. Oh, it's taro flavored white chocolate. Would you like a bite?
I only want a bite of one of them. So I'm trying to decide which will be the bite.
Feel free to ask me about other ones.
So there's these regular chocolate ones with their faces on it. Are those any type of flavor?
They're milk chocolate with different fillings. You've got custard, caramel, coffee, red cherry.
Yeah, don't trust that.
Dark chocolate.
I feel like those might be dangerous. The dark chocolate, though, is probably fine.
How about the stone mask?
White chocolate.
How about this yellow boy? What is that? Josuke's.
This one? Mm-hmm. The anchor? Okay, so all of the little colored icons, they're all white chocolate. Okay. This one is lemon-flavored white chocolate.
I'm going to go with that, if that's okay.
Oh, okay.
See if you can break off a piece.
I don't think I can.
Because Mark wants to eat it, too.
Either way, I'll have hands all over it.
Just bite it.
It would have been better if I just bit it.
Just bite it, and then Mark will eat it.
Okay. I think what's happened is... It tastes like stale now.
Oh, because it's been so long.
It's not very flavorful.
It's like white chocolate, but it's like nothing.
All right, give me the Give me the third bite. I gotta taste it now too. I think it's fine. Actually,
I think it's fine too. It's not like off-putting, but it's like not anything special.
So it just tastes like white chocolate. It doesn't taste like lemon.
If you notice a whitish coat on the chocolate, this is also from Whitaker's Chocolates. It's called bloom, and it's sugar or fat rising to the surface, which alters the texture, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's unsafe. Mm. So I'm not saying we're not going to die. Oh, chocolates with fillings have a shorter grace period.
Yeah.
These are typically safe for about 1 to 3 months.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat the ones with the fillings.
Let's not do those.
Damn it. What if I bit the edge of one?
Mark, you're already feeling like shit, so you could feel more like shit.
Yeah,
if
you have
you
less
want
to lose.
Well, the universal truth is you can always feel worse.
That's true. You could always.
I'm gonna bite the edge of this Jonathan Joestar stamped one that is supposed to be filled with dark chocolate.
Okay, that should be okay.
This is now like a fear factor type podcast.
How is it?
If you're gonna vomit, do it on mic.
Yeah, it tastes kind of decent. But like, I don't want to actually like bite into the filling part. If it's really like,
what is this filling again?
Dark chocolate.
It tastes kind of good, but I don't want to like take a big bite of it now. After reading that fillings,
how good does it taste?
Wait. Chocolates with fillings such as truffles or dairy-based centers.
Yeah, things that are like fruity or dairy could go bad.
If it's a dark chocolate center,
dark
whatever.
Chocolate's probably fine.
Yeah, just go with it.
Is it good?
I pretended to have a seizure. Yeah, the Jonathan Joestar stamped square is pretty good. I can also tell that it probably was more flavorful 9 months ago.
Yeah, we all were.
What's another interesting one from the white chocolate thingies?
So all of those, there's like 6 white chocolate ones?
Yes.
Damn, that's so much white chocolate.
Who wants a blood orange flavored one? It's not going to taste like it though, is it?
No, it's not. I think
the Joestar one.
I think the white chocolate ones they're just going to taste like white chocolate. Mark's eating it. Does it taste the exact same as the lemon one? Yeah. Yeah, they all lost their flavor.
Yeah, all the white chocolate based emblem ones, they just taste like a memory of white chocolate.
Mm.
Like the texture's right, but there's like no flavor.
Mm.
This is the ideal way to review chocolate. Buy it, wait for a year.
Let's review stale chocolate.
Yeah, you can buy these on eBay or Sugoi Mart. Oh, they're out of stock on Sugoi Mart.
You can still buy them, but will they be expired or like do they keep making new ones?
Well, I will say that I think these like first came like shrink wrapped in plastic.
Mm.
And I think I took that off when like Miles was going to visit like last year.
Mm.
And then we forgot about it. So like if you can get something that's still like sealed, that'd be better.
Okay.
Was this in the summer?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure these arrived like right before our daughter was born.
Okay. Wait, really?
I think so. I think it was 2022, winter 2022.
No.
Excuse me?
That's what I think.
Well, I guess, yeah, because I guess they would have a long expiration after they arrive.
True. Okay. Huh.
I'm more concerned about when I unsealed them.
But... Oh, I feel worse now, actually, knowing that.
Just physically?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, suddenly I'm sick.
Because your daughter is over a year old.
Correct.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't that long before. I think it was like a month or two before my daughter was born.
We're going to grow up and we're going to wake up tomorrow and be like purple. You think? Or we'll have stands.
I would like to taste one that is actual chocolate and not white chocolate.
Little fucking Oompa Loompas rolling us around. Yeah, let me get you one. But the chocolate ones all do have filling, Jackie.
They all have filling?
So just bite the border. You'll be good.
Yeah, be careful.
All right. Well, what kind of fillings are they? I'll eat the dark chocolate one. Give me the dark chocolate one. It's the only one I think is safe.
Jackie also bit the square Jonathan Joestar chocolate with dark chocolate filling.
I like it.
It's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the other fillings?
The other fillings are...
What do you think is the next safest filling?
Well, what are they? What are they?
You've got red cherry.
No.
That actually maybe...
Actually maybe, because it's probably just sugar.
Right, and fruit, if
any. It probably is fermenting, if anything.
Dark chocolate with coffee filling.
That's safe.
Custard filling, I would stay the fuck away from that. Caramel. Filling.
Caramel.
Oh, that's safe. That's safe, probably.
And milk chocolate.
Mm. Which one's the caramel?
Giordano.
Okay. I will try that one.
Again, play it safe. Just bite like a corner.
We're just playing it safe with these chocolates.
You definitely got some caramel. And like the others.
Next episode, we got to tell people if we died from eating these.
It's going to be hard to do if we
it's
died.
It's also pretty stale to me.
Yeah. So again, an eating tip here is don't let them sit around forever and then unwrap them, let them sit around more, and then eat them.
You should give these to someone for Valentine's Day.
I don't think we should do that. Okay. I think that would be mean and perhaps somewhat illegal. Okay, you guys ready to have a podcast for real?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's been recording, great. Don't worry.
Now we'll switch gears to our... anime section of our podcast.
Yes, moving on from our usual culinary review. Before we get into Paranoia Agent, folks, I don't know if we have anything to do before that, actually. I don't think we have any emails or anything, so.
Did we forget to tell people what we're watching?
I did, but only yesterday. However, folks, I want to tell you that we are watching Paranoia Agent because of Patreon supporter Katie. If you want to support us or tell us what to watch, you can go to patreon.com/JJBpod. You can get access for as little as $1 a month to the Patreon feed, which includes Miles's cultural reference newsletter, extra audio that has been cut from the main podcast feed, some other audio visual projects that I put up there a while ago, and anything else in the future, as long as you stay subscribed. But importantly, if you for 1 month step up to the $15 tier, you can step right back off, but as long as 1 month charge goes through, you can tell us what show to watch, and that is why we are talking about Paranoia Agent. So thanks, Katie, and let's say thank you to our $3 tier patrons now. So thank you so much, Colin.
Shun.
Hentai Homie.
I love Jojo Uwu.
Daniel.
Dalton.
Soliloquy.
Kasun.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Kenny.
Mirror Man.
The stand user formerly known as Austin.
Tim.
Martin.
Aquosus.
And
Chad.
Hey, thanks, Chad.
Thank you, everyone, for your money.
Yeah, everyone, too.
Blech. All right. Again, you can go to patreon.com/jjbpod to help out the show or tell the show what to be about.
Please help us.
And if you ever want to tell us your thoughts about a show you know is coming up or a show you recommend, you can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. All right. Paranoia Agent is a series created by Satoshi Kon. It is not from a manga or anything. It is animated by Madhouse, who he collaborates with on everything.
Is it from his Twisted Mind?
It is from his Twisted Mind. It's a Satoshi Kon joint. Do you guys know, do you want to guess what year this is from?
03.
99.
04.
Okay.
Yes!
Miles was closer, Price is Right rules. Interestingly, it is winter 2004, which on myanimelist.net makes it the top show from that season, and I don't recognize the other like top 10 shows, except I've heard of one that's called Pretty Cure, but I don't know what was up with 2004. It was fucking lacking. And it's kind of what you'd expect, that it's like a psychologically show.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty Satoshi Kon-y showy.
It's Kon-y. We're big Coneheads, and this is a Coneheaded anime.
What would you say makes something Satoshi Kon-y?
Okay. You can see people's weird visions.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a lot of internal...
like dreams or hallucinations or what they're thinking, kind of, yeah.
Lots of people who are stressed out by how crazy they are.
Mm. Yeah. If there's a woman losing her shit, you might be watching a Satoshi Kon joint. People who don't know what's real, what's really happening, and what's a vision or a dream sequence.
Hobos?
Oh, interesting.
That is interesting. I think that, like, a lot of characters that look like ordinary people, like very few characters that are like hot.
Mm.
Some hotties.
Some, but like a lot of like schlubby looking people too. Mm-hmm. That's just the character design. And I think it is usually going to have some commentary on Japanese society or a larger societal trend. I think that's a thing that he does.
Yeah.
Cool.
What'd you guys think of the OP? That was my first impression of the show.
I thought this was going to be a horror, just straight up horror, because the fucking opening is... Well, I guess you're talking about the song, but I'm thinking like just the people laughing. It's just like, oh my God, this is creepy.
The song is really weird, which I guess fits with the show.
It is weird, and it's like...
The show didn't seem that weird, right? I don't know.
I think it's pretty weird, man.
Okay. Weird, bro.
I'm freaking out, man. Yeah, the show, it like starts out like at the same pace it keeps up. Like the percussion is just like fast throughout. But it features like a guy yodeling as the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And his lyrics alternate between like a detailed, like everyday afternoon that someone is experiencing, like being outside, sitting on a bench, looking at grass, but then also being like a huge mushroom cloud erupts in the sky.
And you see the mushroom cloud.
And everyone's laughing like nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
So it's almost like this weird contrast between like, oh, everything is collapsing, we're going to die, it's the apocalypse, but whatever.
Mm.
Or we're happy. I don't know. It's cool.
It's cool.
I couldn't get it out of my head.
I only watched it once.
No. That's not how I do it.
How do you do it?
I beat it into my head until I'm going, Ra-ya-yo.
Oh, okay.
That's what I do.
I liked it.
Yeah. So what happens in episode one?
What happens? So it starts with some people. Everybody's talking on the phone. Like, some people are stuck in traffic. Some people are on the subway. There's an old man writing something on the sidewalk.
A lot of stuff.
Oh, just writing a whole bunch
on
the
sidewalk.
It's like
a big equation.
Like a big equation. I don't think anything that interesting happens here, but we meet, we cut to Tsukiko, who is an artist. She's trying to design something on her computer, but she keeps deleting it. She's trying to come up with a new, like, cartoon character or something, some new, like, popular thing, because she had a popular cat cartoon.
Yeah, called like Maromi, I think, is the mascot.
Yeah, and she's known for it. And so she's trying to design her next one. And it seems like there's like a lot of pressure on her to design something new and popular, but she, I guess, has writer's block. She leaves and is attacked. Let's see. I didn't write a lot of detail on that attack, but she like sees like a shadow and then she starts running and then she drops some of her papers and then I don't know that she's attacked basically, and she ends up in the hospital. And when the police are questioning her, she tells them, they're like, oh, did you see the person who attacked you? And she said that, he's a sixth grader. He was short and he looked like he was in like fifth or sixth grade. And the cops at first, later you see them talking to each other and it seems like they may not believe her. I don't know why, but they were like, oh yeah, you remember, you know, that false description of an assault we had, you know, in some previous case. So part of it is a little bit of an investigation on like who attacked her, there's a serial person who's like assaulting people. There's another character, Kawazu, who's like a sleazy tabloidy guy.
Oh yeah, this guy. And former criminal, perhaps?
Yeah.
Because it seems like he owed somebody's dad money because he hit him with his car.
Yeah, but I don't think that it was a criminal thing. I think I don't know. I can see him being a bad driver who's an asshole, but he's just in debt to this family.
Gotcha.
And so he is looking for his next story, so he starts talking to the cops to see if he can get some information about the case and stuff. News goes out that it was a kid who attacked the beloved artist. Kawazu, I don't know, I don't remember why he knows anything about this, but he goes to look at some, oh right, because is he the one that tips the cops off that there's like an old homeless woman who's old and short and could have been the attacker potentially?
I don't think so. I think he also knew that, maybe,
because he shows up there and then the cops show up there.
Yeah, but I don't think he tips them off.
No, okay.
I just think
they both are just investigating.
Yeah, and I think he's just a good reporter.
Okay. Good reporter.
Like, he's bad, but he's also good at his job.
Okay. Right. Yeah, because I have here, oh, he's in her tent. Yeah, so the cops show up there, and then he's in her tent. And he's like, I heard she disappeared after the attack. Tsukiko is seeing people write about her online, and some people are like, oh, like some people are mean, and some people are like, oh, get well soon, and other people are like, I bet she's faking it or whatever, like people are just saying mean things. And then her stuffed character, like the character that she created, starts talking to her.
Of course, it starts talking.
But it's not weird to her. She's like, that's normal.
No, it's like completely normal. It's like this just happens.
But it's also completely normal for Satoshi Kon.
Yes.
Yes. And then Kawazu is hit by, they start calling this the kid, because he's hitting people with baseball bats and he's wearing roller skates. And he has like a hat on. They're calling him Little Slugger in the subtitles and the news and stuff.
But then they do go back to just calling him Shonen Bat.
Yeah,
because that is what they're calling him in the Japanese dialogue.
Yeah.
So yeah, at first they say, here comes Little Slugger, but then they just call him Shonen Bat.
Yeah.
Shonen Bat is a cool name.
I like it. But yeah, he's hit by Shonen Bat. So that's attack number two. She was with him when he gets attacked, right? Because then the kid turns around and is like, right, is this where that happens?
The kid turns around
and is like, oh, nice to see you or something.
I don't know if did he say that?
He says something to her. Like, you again. Something. He says something to her. Mm-hmm. But I didn't write down what exactly he says. But anyway, that's the first episode. So some weird stuff is happening and we don't know why. It's mostly, I guess, the mystery of like who this kid is. Why is a kid going around hitting people?
This reporter, what is his name again?
Kawazu.
Kawazu. Also, like our good friend Kakyoin, ties a cherry with his tongue.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Who do you think did it better?
Kakyoin was probably faster.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, he took this guy a while.
I don't remember what the significance of it was, but you see the number 510 everywhere in this episode.
Oh, yeah. 510 is the room number, and then the equation that the guy writes he fills it in as 510.
Yeah, I wrote that down, but I don't know if it comes up ever again.
Well, I think that it's because then in the next episode, the guy writes down, the guy who's writing stuff on the sidewalk writes a number that's related to the boy who's the next victim. So I think he's like predicting who's getting attacked, or either predicting or, I don't know, his equation has something to do, like he's filling in the variables are like who's being attacked or something, because 512 is her room number. And then after we hear, I think it's like right after we hear that it's her room number, we see that, or it's like very shortly after, it's like one of the next few scenes, we see that he writes 512 on his, in the sidewalk.
Apparently 510 is not, it's like
510,
it's her hospital room number and her apartment room number.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
There's some interesting trivia on animenewsnetwork.com, which included that tidbit. And that, sorry, it was aired late at night on a satellite channel because they didn't think like kids, like public TV would enjoy this.
Yeah, kids shouldn't watch this.
They should not. And that's also why the OP is like, because it's to wake you up at night. If you're like asleep with the TV on, you're like, what the fuck?
That's great. I like that.
It's smart.
Do you think we should do something like that?
I don't know what time people put this podcast on.
People listen to us to fall asleep, though. I think it's okay for them to do that.
Write in and tell us what time it is.
Oh, this is sad.
At JoJo's Bizarre Pod?
Yep.
At gmail.com.
You finally got it. It just took 359 episodes or whatever.
Heck yeah.
Do you guys remember who Go Nagai is?
No.
Created Devilman.
Oh, yeah.
A museum attributed to him burned down because of the earthquake they just had in Japan.
Oh, breaking news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hope everyone in Japan is doing okay.
Nerve warned them. Don't worry.
No, I don't know.
I only want to hear about anime related news events.
Oh. Well, what I just said was anime related.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean, I want everything to be contextualized with
I see what you're
saying. How it affects the anime
world.
Oh,
and you mean outside of this podcast. You mean in life in general.
No, I mean this podcast should have a news segment that's just like
okay.
That's just like, you know, this hurricane destroyed a historic anime bookstore or manga, I don't know, whatever. That doesn't make any sense. But you know what I mean.
I get it. Sorry. So should we go into episode two?
Yeah. Okay. So episode two, we learn about this new we got a new character named Yuichi. Everybody calls him Ichi, and he is just the most popular boy in school. He is good looking. He is athletic. Is he smart? Maybe
he's pretty smart. Yeah,
I think he's smart.
He's
okay.
good at everything. Yeah,
he's basically just great at everything, and he's like he knows it. And he, when he smiles, he's got a little sparkle.
It's
in
a sparkle.
His, got a little sparkle.
It's
in
like
his
a
mouth.
Toothpaste commercial boy.
And he's like number one, and everyone calls me Ichi, and I immediately was like, okay, he has the baseball bat, and the golden roller skates. He's the attacker. That's what I thought immediately, and I was like, oh, maybe he's possessed or something. That's what I thought. But no, he gets like a note in his locker from someone anonymously saying that he is the attacker, and people think it's him because it's like kind of obvious.
Yeah, I mean, gold skates, but he doesn't have a gold bat. I think they said the bat was golden.
No, that I think was like rumors later. Like,
okay,
he doesn't actually have a gold bat.
I would similarly be scared of every boy on roller skates carrying a bat.
Yeah.
I would have that prejudice. Sorry.
I think if you were a kid who had gold roller skates, you should like, after hearing this news, you should like put them away for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably.
So yeah, people think it's him, and it's kind of ruining his whole vibe. It's ruining his reputation, is ruining his, like, I don't know, he's not cool. He's not like popular anymore.
But he blames it on this one poor little new kid who's like kind of a chub.
Yeah, he calls him a pig. He's very not nice about this kid. But he's running against him in student council. So they're like rivals, you know? They're rivals, but I think he like doesn't respect this kid, you know? So it's not a like respectable rivalry, you know? It's just like this disgusting pig, you know, wants to run against me, and he's like not even good at sports. You know,
yeah, we see his true, like, this kid is really two-faced because he's like outwardly this golden child, but when we hear his inner thoughts, he's like kind of a monster.
He's a little shit.
Yeah. Well, he's like super entitled. He's like the world revolves around me, and it should always revolve around me, and I should always be on top. Yeah. You know,
the kid he's making fun of, his last name is Ushiyama, and he calls him a fat ass, which, to do that, the word is debu in Japanese, and I think he calls him Debushiyama.
Okay.
Like, he just combines,
oh, that's pretty good,
fat ass with his name or something. Yeah,
come on, that's funny, guys.
It's funny if you're mean.
Oh no.
His name is like Uchi. I know, but in the subtitle said Uchi. Is that his first name?
No, his first name's Shogo.
Oh, I swear it said Uchi. Maybe I'm...
I don't know. His name is Ichi and...
Yeah, his name is Ichi. That's why I was like, oh, his name is Ichi and the rival's name is Uchi, but...
Maybe this Wikipedia page about the Paranoia Agent episodes is wrong.
Or maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, somebody's wrong. Ichi thinks that kid is spreading rumors about him, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know who's spreading rumors. The police question, what's her name?
Yuichi, the boy?
No, the girl.
Oh, the character designer?
Yeah.
Tsukiko.
The police question her again. They're like, oh, you've been involved in both incidents, because now there's been two. And meanwhile, Ichi tells his tutor, he has this pretty tutor lady, he tells her,
oh, I loved this,
that he's being bullied.
The way this transitions is he's like, he knows that he's being like seen as little slugger, and he's riding home, and he's like, but I don't care what anyone else thinks, because I've got, and they just cut to this lady, but I thought it was like his mom.
Yeah,
and he's like,
because
I've got
too.
A secret weapon, mommy, who I'm going to tell.
Right, that's exactly what I thought too. But
no, it's his tutor, Harumi.
Yeah. But I don't know how that really helps him, because I don't think she really does anything about it.
I think he just likes that he can tell an adult that is not his parents.
Yeah, I think he likes her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
She's a little bit of a babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. He starts harassing.
I wonder what she does when she's not tutoring him.
Yeah, maybe we'll never find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so then he starts harassing Uchi. He like catches up with him after school or something, and I don't know, goes to beat him up. But someone takes pictures of that.
He tries to force him to admit that he was the one who started the rumor, and Uchi's like, what are you talking about? And yeah, somehow we still don't know.
Someone is blackmailing this kid.
Yeah. Someone takes pictures of Yuichi messing with Ushiyama.
Mm-hmm. And then he texts it to everyone in his class, you know, to, like, it's not even a blackmail thing. He just wants to make this kid look bad. Because if it was blackmail, he'd be like, hey, I have this photo, you got to pay up, or, you know, or something.
And
but
we
no,
never
it's
find
just,
out who's behind all of this.
No. No. And I think also, like, it's got to be that whoever is the actual Shonen Bat kid is, I think it's got to be all a conspiracy against this guy, against Ichi.
The things happening in this episode? Even the whole thing?
The whole thing. The things happened in the previous episode too, because it's such a big coincidence. Like, I think somebody's trying to take this kid out, and it's a coincidence. It's a conspiracy against
him.
Who
would conspire against a child?
Maybe another child. I don't know.
So part of the conspiracy is to hit a character designer who doesn't know this child?
Yeah, but she is beloved to the students in his class.
But everyone loves her, right? Because she made Marumi.
Sure, everybody loves her. But if I'm like, I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to make people think that you're an asshole, like, I'm like, okay, who's someone that everyone in the class likes? You know, oh, everybody really likes this, the artist who created this thing, that she's about to create a new one. You know, let me get her. And so people will really hate whoever did that to her.
I don't buy it.
Mark, I think it's a great plan to take out a...
I think it's an insane scope to take out a kid for student council president.
It could be a hit on his parents or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're trying to take out the kid, but really it's like it has bigger goals. I think it's a conspiracy against this kid.
Okay.
And if I was this kid, I would think it was a conspiracy against me.
Well, I don't like this kid, so I'm glad. I think he's a little shit.
Yeah, I didn't like him at first, but then later I felt bad for him.
No one shows up to his birthday party, so that's kind of sad.
That was sad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he thinks to himself he wishes Uchi got attacked, and then he does get attacked.
Yeah, because he kind of slows down because they're walking somewhere together, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Ushi's like trying to make him feel better. He's like, I understand what it's like to be an outcast. I moved here because I was bullied so much at my last school. Mm. And I think Ichi doesn't take this in the best way. He's just like, oh God, I'm as pathetic as this kid now.
Yeah. So he like slows down and is like envisioning him getting attacked. And then Shonen Bat does roll up on him. And then Ichi's like, well, now I can chase down the bat guy.
Mm.
Does he say chance?
I don't know. He might.
Okay.
But he's like so far behind that he can't catch up to Shonen Bat Boy.
Yeah, and he's on those blades too.
Yeah. So I feel like if he had actually walked with this kid, then he could have maybe actually done something. But he slowed down so much. And then, yeah, as the kid like escapes with the bat and the skates, he kind of turns around and smiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Smiles at him, but we still can't really make him out.
Does he have the sparkle too?
Don't remember. Okay.
I think he does, because I wrote down Ichi with the shiny teeth. Oh. I don't know. Maybe Ichi just keeps showing off his teeth. The next equation answer is one, which is Ichi.
That makes sense.
And then Ichi gets hit in the head with a baseball bat. And I thought maybe that was a hallucination, but you found out in episode one that he is in the hospital.
Episode three,
that he's in. I guess I said one because his name is Ichi.
Episode Ichi.
Episode three, that he is actually, he's the, how many victims is that now? Fourth victim.
Yeah. There's the artist. There's the reporter. There's
the kid.
Two kids.
Uchi and then Ichi.
Do you guys think, like, if you got hit in the head with an aluminum bat by someone on roller skates,
I'd be dead.
You'd be dead, right? Or like, concussed,
I think Ichi's
like,
very badly hurt.
Yeah.
Are we sure it's the head? I thought they were hit repeatedly, like, everywhere.
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought it was a skate by. Like,
yeah, I thought it was a one-hitter and gone. And I thought, okay, because, like, when they first show Tsukiko, I was like, oh, maybe they just hit her in the back or the arm.
Because
if you get hit in the head, like, I feel like that could be fatal, or you could be, like, hemorrhaging and not in good shape for a while.
They all get knocked out, right?
I guess so. I thought there was just a jump cut.
Yeah.
We never see them, like, coming to, you know, minutes later or anything.
Yeah. Should we try it and find out?
Yeah, let's test that too. Let's get an expired bat.
Does anyone have rollerblades?
No. We have like a cart that has wheels. Okay. The whole time we test this, we're just blasting the opening.
Do you even have a baseball bat?
We have metal stuff.
Okay, so instead of rollerblades and a baseball bat, we're going to go with a cart with wheels and a metal thing.
Yeah, like part of like a bed frame.
We have things that are, we have like metal sticks.
I have a little giant ladder that's extremely heavy and metal.
Okay. Is it so heavy that you couldn't roll around with it?
Yeah. That's a good point. We could take one of the metal poles we've been talking about. Okay. Jackie mentioned.
Yes.
All right.
And then episode 3. It starts with this like big otaku guy fucking a beautiful prostitute, and we're like, how did this happen with all his like
Jackie
anime
was like
figures?
Really, you were really concerned that they not be a real couple.
Was I?
Because you were like, when like, because you just hear like a woman like really into sex, and then you just see this huge guy and he's got all these anime figures around him.
This big dork.
He gets up and you were like, all right, is she a prostitute or is she a blow up doll or something? Like in your mind, you're like, there's no way they're just together.
He's not in her league.
There's no way.
Yeah.
But she's not. Yeah, she's a prostitute.
She is. And
when he busts.
He started talking to his dolls.
He thanks one of them for doing some elastic level 3 attack or something. I was like, that's who you're thinking?
That's who he was thinking of.
So weird.
Hey.
At that point, why even have...
This is not a kink-shaming podcast.
I just... If there's a human being in the bedroom...
Yeah, she should be
dressed... thank the human being.
She should be dressed up like the anime or whatever his little dolls, his favorite characters.
I thought this was a really good voice performance on her part.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I... Specifically you were really the way it. She's like, all right, I'm going to take a shower like as soon as they're done.
Mm. The voice actor... for Harumi Chono is Misato from Evangelion.
Oh.
Same actress.
What a star.
Nice. So then she starts listening to her voicemails and she keeps getting calls from someone named Maria.
This was confusing to me.
Who does not seem nice.
Like the whole time?
Just this part.
Oh, okay.
Her name is Harumi. There's also, we see ads for Double Lips. It's 200, it's basically, it's like $250 for 90 minutes, in case you were wondering the cost. It's like in yen, but I converted. I just took 2 zeros off.
Yeah, and that's 20 years ago money.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
You gotta like triple it. $750 for 90 minutes?
Oh, I thought you said that's, $250.
It is $250.
Yeah, but I'm saying like triple it to today's dollars.
Is that what
does she clean the apartment afterwards?
You're saying that's high?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it is.
That's crazy.
Not that I'd know
you think the prices
for sex are, but
you think the tripling is high.
Isn't that like what's the $2004?
I think tripling is a lot. I don't think
it might
triple.
Not be given the past couple
I don't
of
think
years.
It's triple.
Yeah, you're really right.
I don't think it's triple.
What are you on the Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation calculator?
Is that what I should use?
No, it's probably a more complicated one.
No, it's like 68% more, so not even double.
Okay.
So I don't know, like $500?
Yeah.
$480 for 90 minutes. I guess if they wear a nice outfit.
How much would someone need to pay you to have sex with that otaku guy?
$89.
What?
That's it.
That's it?
$89.
Okay.
To have sex with that otaku guy, a lot of money. More than $480.
Yeah.
For 90 minutes is a lot of time.
That is a lot of time, actually.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind.
So now, yeah. So now you agree that it's a low price.
I don't know about low price. I'm coming down to fair.
You think it's a fair?
I'm coming down to fair. I just remember watching. I don't know if it was Real Sex or if it was a doc about like prostitutes in New York or somewhere, and it was like $50 for a blowjob. Mm. And as a child, I was like, I have $50. I was like, I can imagine $50.
That's funny.
But that's probably like, I think like they document like the whole like act. Like you don't see anybody. You just see like her just like get in the car and it's like 5 minutes. It's like 5 or 10 minutes or something.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, okay, that's not 90 minutes.
It's $50.
90 minutes? You got to, what are you, just sit and talk? Are you going to watch an anime together?
Maybe 90 minutes is an upper bound.
Mm.
Oh. And people are just like, I got to last. I got to get my money's worth out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you got to play Connect Four with me.
I mean, you do, okay, yeah. So you do buy the 90 minutes. So you could just play Connect Four for an hour and a half.
You could just watch a 90-minute movie.
Just be like, hurry up, get inside. Take your shoes off. I have to start Love Actually.
Anyway, so she starts having a existential conversation with herself after listening to a bunch of voice messages. And it turns out Maria is the voice in her head. We learn this from her therapist.
She has dissociative identity disorder, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got two people living inside of her little body.
Yeah.
Rumi and Maria, who's the prostitute.
And then we find out that she's also the tutor. Harumi is the tutor.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
Ichi's tutor.
Also, I was like, oh, maybe she's Bat Boy.
Oh, yeah.
So because of the split personality thing, I'm wondering if she's Bat Boy.
She'd have to hit herself with a bat.
Yeah, I don't.
Hey.
It's possible.
It's possible. We've all seen Fight Club.
I guess.
I think somehow it's a conspiracy against that kid, and I think that she is, it might be her. Because she wears all these different wigs, and
I liked all her different looks and her outfits and stuff.
Yeah.
And the sequences where she's like arguing or fighting with herself are really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's a high-end prostitute.
Mm. Okay.
All right. You don't have to oversell me. I'm sold.
Well, she has like an agency. Like it's more, there's a lot of infrastructure around it, you know, because they have posters and they have a phone number and they have like people that, like she works for somebody. It's like not like a very street thing.
Do we know if this type of sex work is legal in Japan?
I don't think it is.
Oh.
But it's looked over. There is legal like escort or hosting where you can just like hang out with someone,
mm-hmm.
but there's also just real prostitution, and I don't think it's explicitly legal at all.
Oh, interesting. Well, that adds another premium to the price.
Mm.
Look, society's ills are not my problem.
Well, I'm just saying, like, when you take that into account, maybe $750 is, you know, you're paying for she's taking on a certain level of risk.
True. So were we all. You know, if you're in an illegal activity, that's risky from both sides.
Do you guys want regular chocolate that's not stale?
Non-expired.
Is this regular chocolate? Mm-mm-mm.
Anyway, that was our chocolate break.
You know what? I don't like this that much either. I think...
this is definitely more flavorful, though.
I think this mocha non-alcoholic beer that I'm drinking...
is better.
...is throwing off my palate.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, these chocolates were flavorless, the ones that we tried at the beginning.
Okay. This isn't that flavorful to me, though.
It's not super flavorful, but it's there.
Anyway, so Harumi goes to work. I don't know where she works.
She's a research assistant at a college.
Yeah.
Well, her boss proposes to her. He's her boss, right? Or maybe her partner.
Out of nowhere, he's like, by the way,
he's older.
Would you like to get married?
Yeah.
They must be, it must be a slow boiling kind of thing that we just haven't seen.
I don't know. It looked one-sided to me.
Yeah. But whatever.
Every time I see her, she's just like, here's this stuff.
Good for her.
Bye.
Congratulations.
It could be years of dating that we're missing, you guys.
Maybe.
Well, she tries to quit prostituting because, like,
she tries to, like, erase Maria.
Yeah, because she got proposed to, so she's like, all right, I need to nip this in the bud.
Yeah, ladies, a lot of times your husband won't like it if you're secretly a prostitute.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs to know that you're a prostitute, and then maybe it's okay.
Right. You got to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. But it's, like, complicated because it's like she's not really a prostitute. It's her split personality that's a prostitute, you know?
Well, she talks to her, I guess, psychiatrist about her getting married. And her psychiatrist is like, have you talked to him about your condition? And and he was like, because you should, which I agreed with.
Correct. Yeah.
Correct thing to say, psychiatrist.
I wonder why she didn't chain herself to the bed at night. And, you know, if you want to stop being a prostitute. But I guess, like, you chain yourself to the bed and then somehow she calls her clients to come see her or something.
Yeah.
Well, also, if you know how to unlock it, then your alternate self knows
Maria
how to unlock
also
it.
Knows.
Yeah.
Unless you hopelessly chain yourself and then have no idea how you're going
to
get
out
of it.
No, you need a friend to help you. You need somebody to be like, okay, come to my house, come to my apartment at, you know,
come
at this time, but
window.
Not any sooner. But then again, it, like, I guess you can't control when you're in which personality, so.
This is a very bad situation and also a very Satoshi Kon situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's got
Kon's
tone all over.
She tries to quit and that doesn't really work. And then Double Lips starts calling her on her personal phone instead of Maria's phone, which she doesn't like.
Yeah, because they had set this up by showing her talk to a client. She's like, I'm going to quit. And he's like, why don't you give me the number of your phone? You know, the white cell phone that's not for work. And she's like, nope, I don't give that out.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly she's getting calls on it. So that means Maria's been telling people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, because Maria didn't like having all her stuff thrown away and getting her to quit her job. I got confused here because there's a part where there's like three of them and they're all kind of like, they're all messing with her head and stuff. You kind of see them all at once. Why are there three? I thought it was just Maria and Harumi.
Yeah, it was like, I think there are only two personalities, but it was weird that there were Marias.
I think Maria has different looks, and maybe it depends on where she's working. Because it seems like maybe for different clients, she wears different things. Or when she's at a dance place, she looks like the afro with the eyeshadow. But when she's like doing like escort work in a hotel room, she has the long hair, the flat long hair.
But why is she represented twice? I don't know. I thought that was weird.
I don't know. I think it's visually cool. But it did throw me a little too, I admit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Harumi is also attacked at this point.
Harumi's life sucks because she only has one outfit and Maria has way more.
Yeah. Also, she's a tutor and then about to be in a slave marriage. And she tutors a little brat.
You thought it was going to be a slave marriage?
I don't think she knows this guy at all.
I think he loves her.
He might, but that's not always enough.
Yeah, I think he likes her because she brings him stuff, like at work.
Well, she's a hot young thing.
Didn't he ask her for tea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, could you make some tea?
I think he just wants someone to cook for him and
I think
stuff.
This is like a very traditional proposal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're young, I have security.
Right, I will provide the money, you keep the house in order.
Yeah.
And
ride me while I look at my anime figures. Oh, yeah.
This episode taught me that answering machines are creepy.
Oh, yeah, by the way, at the end of this episode, they claim to have arrested Shonen Bap, but we don't see who it is.
Listen. Okay, so at the hospital, there's a nurse that we see. Is it the same nurse from Tokyo Godfather?
Oh, I think I did vaguely get some similar vibes. But I don't know if that's just Satoshi Kon's character design style or not.
I don't know.
Let's say yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
That's it. I don't have anything else to say. I'm interested in continuing to watch this. How many episodes? How many episodes is it total?
I believe it's 13.
Hmm.
Let's see. It is 13. Yeah, I would finish it too. It's there's a lot going on, and I like you want to see how it untangles itself.
Yeah.
Well, I liked it so far. Like, also, things are connected.
It's connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's off kilter.
I wonder how dark it's going to get.
It's already pretty dark.
But we haven't run into other
stuff.
It's
not that dark.
You know, it doesn't make me...
Yakuza, cults, suicide.
True. It doesn't make me feel bad. Like, Perfect Blue made me feel pretty bad watching.
Mm.
Coward.
But it makes you feel a little bit bad.
Yeah.
Towards the end, someone says that everyone who gets hit with the bat seems relieved.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That's true. So she's in the middle of fighting with her personality.
Mm-hmm.
Ichi is like, the bat relieves him of the suspicion of being shonen bat. I don't think it helps Ushi at all.
No,
not really.
And the reporter and the designer, I don't know if it helps them either.
It helps the designer because she was under a lot of pressure to come up with a new cartoon character. And now that she's in the hospital, I think everyone's like, people stopped asking her about how that design is going.
Now people are wondering if she's a fake. But now I guess they don't, after multiple people have been hit.
Mm-hmm.
So all I know about this show is like, I've read one or two synopses. One says that the detectives notice that they are all helped in a small way by the attack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the same thing, though, if that's relief that we're talking about, or if there's something else we're going to see. And I don't remember what the other synopsis I read mentioned, so it doesn't matter. But basically, that's all I know.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, all of the people who get hit, except for maybe Ushi, things aren't going well for them. There's some, like, outsized stress that they're dealing with.
Mm. Yeah, we don't really know Ushi's deal.
But does it actually help you to get hit by a bat? Maybe. I don't know.
It might let people back off you.
True.
People give you a little bit of... They feel bad for you. They give you a little bit of leeway.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
What else is there to say about this?
It's good.
It's good, yeah.
Oh, I noticed in episode 2 that it's 2004, but all of these like 6th graders or whatever they are, they all have phones.
Mm.
I thought it was insane that Yuichi's phone rang and no one yelled at him.
Mm.
True.
But I think maybe they just made it loud for us, the audience. I really loved Yuichi's nightmare sequence in episode 2. When he's like imagining his mom with like no eyes, like floating into his room, being like, time to go to school. And then he's outside and like everyone is stretchy and huge.
That's how I feel when I wake my son up for school.
You feel that way? Or you
that
think,
I'm the monster who's coming to ruin him.
You got to do it softly.
Oh.
You got to knock on the door softly and be like, hello.
I've been screaming at the top of my lungs.
Don't do that. It's tempting, I know, but don't do that. One thing I really love in episode 1 is when Tsukiko is walking and she's like surprised by this homeless lady she runs into, is they briefly show a little Maromi mascot in her bag, and when she stops abruptly, the Maromi mascot also looks surprised. But that may have just been the animation of it hitting the edge of the bag abruptly, but it was,
I don't think so.
I think it was like intentional. I liked it.
They knew what they were doing.
I thought the intro, the first episode, by the way, is full of people making excuses. Did you guys notice that? That everyone's like, oh, well, I can't because of traffic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't because that's right. That was the other synopsis I forgot, was that people have described this as though it's like a phenomenon around like when people repress too much.
Mm. Mm.
I don't exactly know if that's a great translation or if we've seen how that really makes sense yet.
Yeah, I don't.
Because
I don't see it.
It could be. Well, okay, so the designer, Ichi, and Maria / Hiromi. You could say that they're repressing too much.
Harumi and Maria, I totally see, because she's repressing an entire disorder and her second personality.
Mm-hmm.
What's the artist repressing?
Like all of this stress. She's under a lot of pressure to come up with a new hit character, and all of her coworkers hate her, but she doesn't like react in any way to them hating her.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, she's not dealing with a lot of that stuff. That's a good point. She is just sort of keeping that down. And so I guess, yeah.
And that's she's also talking to a doll a lot.
Yeah, so I guess it's like she's pushing down her issues and then is relieved of them when she gets hit by a bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the doll is giving her real talk.
What is Yuichi repressing, though? The idea that maybe his class doesn't like him? Because no, they do like him normally.
He's an asshole deep inside. And he's acting like he's not an asshole. But he's a big asshole.
Maybe.
No, he is. But I don't know.
No, I know, but I don't know if that's like something he's pushing back and then is relieved by the bat. I guess so.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what this is. This is just like stories of look at these people, and maybe we'll never know who the Bat Boy, Shonen Bat, Little Slugger is, you know?
Maybe the Bat Boy is the friends we made along the way.
Maybe. The Bat Boy does have a voice actor credit, who is Daisuke Sakaguchi, who voiced Karne from JoJo Part 5, who was the notorious big stand user, who I don't know if he has any lines. He just dies very quickly, and then his stand is undead.
Thanks, Chad.
The other JoJo connection is that Tsukiko's voice actor is Yukako from Part 4 of JoJo.
Your girl, Jackie.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Been around for a while.
Good for her.
Yeah. Although I guess if you think about it, when was Part 4? 2016 or something? Yeah, it's still a long time. Okay. Yeah, we'll keep watching. And I think the OP, I'm going to just stand in the middle of the sofa with my hands way up in the air every time it starts. I'm going to go, yeah. See if I can catch that energy. Miles, I recommend you do the same.
Okay.
I will not do it.
What is this, on Crunchyroll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys think if I get hit by a bat, my eardrum will unpuncture?
I think if you want it enough, the bat will deliver it to you.
Okay.
So yeah, just keep wishing for that and like walk around
like playgrounds, like
pavement areas.
Just go to like a batting cage and just like stand,
just wander into the cages.
Stand right behind someone that's batting.
I think I'll just have another problem if I do that. Like a fucking busted ball. Just a bruised testicle.
Like a broken nose.
Yeah. Because it's a little kid.
Oh, true.
No, I just imagine the worst possible. Because you swing the bat sometimes. Sometimes you drop it low.
Sometimes if the pitch is low.
You know, you're walking up to the plate. Maybe you're just sort of like whirling it around.
I see.
And then there's a guy there you don't notice, and you whap him in the ball sack.
I forget. Did you play Little League?
I did.
All right.
My one Little League story, I was mostly like left outfield. But like one time they tried me pitching, and I was like pretty good in practice, and then they put me on the mound in the game, and I threw like 4 balls in a row.
Yeah, that's not
like,
what you want.
I just couldn't get it together. They were like, maybe not.
It's a lot of pressure.
Maybe not do this. Yeah.
Why do so many kids play baseball? It's such a failure sport.
What do you mean? It's an American pastime.
I know it's an American pastime. It's just, it's like, you don't succeed that much in baseball.
But like, sorry, but soccer has like 2 goals a game or something, right? What do you mean?
Yeah, soccer is also a pretty hard one.
Like you get to run, which is nice, I guess.
Yeah, you can succeed at running. But baseball, to do anything, you have to do a really hard thing, which is to hit a ball.
It's not that hard.
You could be a good fielder.
True.
I think the nice thing about it is everybody has their chance to hit the ball. You know?
But I guess you are right. There's a lot
of
nothing.
You have at least 3 chances to hit the ball.
A lot of the,
you know, like
is
everybody goes
there
up and it's your turn versus like soccer or hockey or something where it's like everybody's chasing after the ball and like you may never touch the ball and you may never get your shot to do anything fun. Or basketball, same thing. You may never catch. You may never get the ball.
I think that might be true more in basketball, but in like hockey and soccer, if you're like defense, you're gonna have to deal with it, mm-hmm. and everyone else you're gonna pass around. But yeah, with baseball, especially if you don't have, I think like with pitching getting better, like there's just a lot of fielders just stand around.
Yeah,
there's nothing happening. It is kind of a dumbly designed game. I wonder if cricket is better.
It.
I know the bat is huge.
Seems really complicated.
Does it really?
Cricket?
Yeah. Should we watch? Should we watch Lagan for the podcast?
Is that a cricket?
It's like a famous. It might be. I don't want to overstep here, but I think it might be the cricket movie from India.
It's not an anime?
No.
Oh.
But should we watch it just because it came up in conversation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It needs to be an anime. Is there? If there's an anime based on it, then yes.
Okay.
I would 100% watch a cricket anime if it exists.
Checking right now.
But I feel like baseball countries are not cricket countries, and Japan is a big baseball country.
It's looking like a no, but... I see someone said, here you go, mate. This one's right up there with Evangelion and JoJo, and they have a link, and I'm worried about what it's going to be. Ooh. This is a 3D anime comedy video on YouTube. I'm good.
All right.
I think that's it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Paranoia Agent.
Satoshi Kon. The only thing I think I haven't seen from him is Millennium Actress.
I haven't seen Paprika, but you know what I saw at the movie theater the other day?
What's that?
In a couple of weeks, they're having, like at AMC, I think like a week of Satoshi Kon or something like that. Or maybe they're just showing Paprika.
Oh, those are different.
Yeah. But I feel like it's more than just Paprika.
Oh, wow. He wrote the story for a live action. Oh, right. I think we talked about this. Because it's the Akira director, yeah, called World Apartment Horror, a comedy horror movie from 91. But besides that, yeah, his first writing was Memories, which we watched, and then he directed Perfect Blue, Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers, Paprika, and as for TV anime, we know he did some work on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the OVA from the 90s, he did a one-minute short called "Good Morning" from 2008. I don't. I'll check that out. Anyway,
and he died pretty recently, right?
Yeah. When was nah, 2010. That's ages ago at this point.
True.
This chocolate didn't even exist. This is so long ago.
I don't know.
All right. I think that wraps it up for us, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, guys. On Twitter, we are at JJBpod. We have a Discord that a listener started. So you can find the link to join that Discord in the description of this episode on your podcast player. Again, our email address is jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. And other than that, I don't know what we're going to watch next week. So just follow us on Twitter or join the Discord. Or fuck it, in like a few days, just email us and be like, hey, what are you watching? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, let us know.
So I would say here, everyone be careful and watch out for that bat, but don't watch out for that bat if you've been, you know, pushing something way down inside yourself.
Yeah, if you have multiple personalities and you're not dealing with it, that could be a way for it to be. No, it won't help.
Actually. I don't think it'll permanently help.
Yeah.
Look out for that bat if you really need it. You know? Mm-hmm. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.